Okay, this morning I'm very excited to bring you this message. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Christy Noem came to our town, to the school, and gave a message about remembering our soldiers. And we dedicated a bridge to a couple of men who gave their life in service to our country. And I want to just propose a couple of different scenarios to kind of help you understand what it is that I'm trying to get to in the core of my message this morning. The title is A Better Kind of Thanksgiving. Now, I'm sure, if not all, most of you celebrated Thanksgiving this week. A lot of times when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of going around the table and say, name something you're thankful for, right? Tell me something that you're thankful for. And that is certainly a good thing, right? It reminds me of the song, Count Your Blessings and Name Them One by One. And that is a wonderful habit to practice, to be reminding ourselves of our blessings, because we certainly in this country have so many things to be thankful for. But imagine a soldier coming home from war, the community being there to meet him, his family being there to meet him. Let's say a company of soldiers comes back, or a group, and the town is there to welcome those who have fought for them. And they cheer, they give praise, they give honor, certainly very well earned, very well, something good to do. And now imagine that same group of people coming back, but instead of them going off fighting and coming back, let us say the enemy was coming towards that town, right? And these men stood in the way. They stood up and fought and defeated the enemy that was sure to overrun this small community. How different might those two Thanksgivings be? Right? One, honor and praise, Thanksgiving. But another one is a whole different level, because there was a direct action in my life. You saved my life. How might that kind of Thanksgiving be different than just honoring somebody who went off and came back? Now you might say, well, Pastor, in reality, there shouldn't be much of a difference. Maybe so. Maybe so. But the reality is we're humans, right? And when somebody puts their line on the for what you believe to be your sure destruction, it's going to indwell in you a deeper sense of, and this is the word I want to think about, duty. Right? When somebody puts their life on the line on your behalf, it should be more than just gratitude. There should be a sense of duty that we feel towards the cause that that person served. Whether it be our country, or whatever it be, if you guys were at the funeral on, if it was at, you guys were at the funeral last Sunday for our son Timothy, you heard of Dale Barcher who gave his kidney for his brother, right? When somebody puts their life on the line for you, there should be more than just thankfulness, as if, man, today all the lights were red, or all the lights were green. What a wonderful day, right? We can be grateful, and that's a good thing. But there should be something more than that. There should be the idea that we have a duty to honor that sacrifice. And so with that mindset, I want us to come to the scriptures this morning, and as we read through some of these passages, I want us to realize that God is calling us not just to be grateful for the things that he does for us, but a commitment to honor him with our very lives. The first point is to serve the Lord with gladness. Giving thanks is a celebration of God's goodness. If you guys went around the table this Thanksgiving and said, name something you're thankful for, and I'm not condemning this, but I'm just pointing out the obvious, most of what we talk about as the things that we are thankful for are the things that we think God has done for us, right? I am so thankful I have this. I am so thankful I don't have that, right? And it's very self-centered. Not that that's wrong, because we're the only life that we are living, right? So we can be thankful for others, but we are most immediately affected by our own lives. But giving thanks is a celebration of God's goodness. Psalms 100, 1 through 5 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. A lot of times when we think of Thanksgiving, this is what we are thinking of: the celebration of God's goodness, and particularly the celebration of God's goodness to me. And I am no different. But we must understand that thanksgiving is more than just gratitude for living a life in comfort. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are the times when we would be anxious? You know, when I was, last year, when I was watching the Super Bowl, and who won the Super Bowl last year? Oh yeah, it was the Chiefs. That's my favorite team, thank you. When I was watching that, right, and they scored the touchdown in the fourth quarter and the time ran out, right? And we're all cheering. Do you think I was worried about anxiety? Oh, Lord, please save me from this anxiety. Was that the time when I needed to pray for that? No. When we have a celebration of the goodness of God, those are not times of anxiety. So why is Paul in Philippians saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving? Because thanksgiving is more than just times of comfort and celebration. Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Sometimes we are afflicted. Sometimes we see things in our lives that are not right. We see injustice. And yet this psalm is about praising God for his righteousness that is going to come. When do we need that psalm? When do we need that kind of thanksgiving? It's not when we're celebrating God's goodness in the midst of triumph. Our second point is pay your vows to the Most High. The first one says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve means our focus is not on us and what God can do for us. It's God, what can I do for you? I see the goodness that you are trying to work in the world. And even when I am not personally experiencing it, I am going to work to do the work that you want me to do. Honor you. And I'm going to do it with gladness. The second point, pay your vows to the Most High, is we're going to read out of Psalms 50, 14 and 15, and then 16 through 23. And the first part talks about offering thanksgiving through service. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And I want you to think about this. He connects thanksgiving to a duty that we have to pay our vows. What is our vows? The things that we've promised, right? Maybe you've been in a situation where you said, God, if you deliver me from this, I will do this for you, right? That's what Hannah did. Hannah wanted God's favor so that she could have a child. And she said, God, if you give me this son, I will give him back to you. I will dedicate him to service in your temple. But each one of us, if we've received Christ as Lord and Savior, have made a vow to live our life for him, to honor him, to serve him. And we see here that the psalmist connects the idea of thanksgiving and duty, paying our vows to the Most High. Now, listen to what God says. In verse 16 through 23, it says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or to take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. Hopefully you guys weren't doing that on Thanksgiving Day. You sit and speak against your brother and you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent, and you thought that I was with like you, altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whomever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Here we see again this idea linked of praising God and the duty that we have as God's children, or the duty we have as God's creation to serve him and what he has created us to be. And he says to the wicked, what right do you have to take my covenant in your mouth? In other words, you could say, hey, if you're not seriously thinking about following God, if you're not actually making a heart commitment, then the commitment with your mouth, it's not going to accomplish anything. Right? We can stand up here before God, those who got baptized last week, and they said, yes, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and yes, I want to honor him with my life and show others by being baptized. But if that's just what your words say, but then we see here in your actions you're going out and partaking with all kinds of evil, then God says you have no right to take that oath. It's not going to accomplish anything for you because it's not here. Right? So what does thanksgiving done right look like? The first thing is it must be focused on God's glory, not my glory. It's got to be focused on God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 15 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus and will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having been spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes. What are the all things that he's talking about? Is it all the wonderful times when Paul rode into town and everybody cheered for him and there's Paul the missionary, right? He said, oh yeah, I'm just doing that for you guys. Doing it for the little people. Is that what he's saying? No. He's saying, every time I got thrown out of a town, I got stoned, I got beaten, I got whipped, now I'm in prison. All this I'm doing for you. Right? But is he upset about it? No. He says, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having been spread through the many, as many, many people become followers of Jesus Christ, it may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul is saying, I am living my life. I am pouring out my life for God's glory. Not for my own, but for God's glory. And so our thanksgiving needs to be centered around the glory of God. It should also be focused on cheerful, sacrificial service. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Here, Paul is challenging the Corinthian church, and in so doing, he is challenging us. Where are we sowing our time? Where are we sowing our energy? Where are we sowing our money? Is it in things that last? Is it in things that make a difference? Or are we just wasting our time? Randy, you ever feel like get stuck in the mud and you feel like, wow, today was just a waste of time? Right? You set out, you have a vision of what you want to accomplish. You drive into the field, and as you sink down, you say, this is not what I thought was going to happen. Right? Some plant a lot, and some plant sparingly. And there's no reward for good intentions. Nobody gets saved off of good intentions. People get saved because people sowed seed. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. We have a duty to God, but it shouldn't be lived out in spite. It shouldn't be lived out in frustration or begrudgence of, oh, I got to do this because he saved my life. Right? Anybody ever feel like that Sunday morning? Oh, I got to get him to go to church. I really want to sleep in today. That's not the attitude God's looking for. A cheerful, sacrificial service. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver of our money? Yeah. A cheerful giver of our time? Yes. A cheerful giver of our focus, our dedication, our attention, our loyalty? Yes. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. When we think of being thankful to God, it should lead toward good works. Because we recognize the duty that we have to serve Him. C is it should be focused on righteousness. Now, may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, meaning that you are enriched so that you can give, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by the prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His incredible gift. Now, Paul is describing a gift that the church has promised to give. But do you see here all of the things that come out of that? Do you see here that when we give thanks to God, it's something that works exponentially, right? We give, and then a person is affected by that and gives glory to God. And out of that glory and honor that they give to God, they recognize their own need to give. And then they give. And the work of one is multiplied. That's the ministry of our Lord and Savior. But I want to go back to verse 10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now that is a key thing to understand. As we recognize that God is the supplier of our needs, as we recognize and honor Him for the part that He plays in our life, He is God and we are not, it will increase our loyalty and desire to please Him, which will impact and have the fruit of righteousness in our own life. Now imagine that happened and was multiplied across our community, and then was multiplied across our state, and was multiplied across our nation. What might the fruit of righteousness impact our country? How might the fruit of righteousness impact our country? I have a t-shirt that says, no righteousness, no peace. You might have heard, no justice, no peace. That's not how it works. Punishing evil does not lead to righteousness. Repentance leads to righteousness, and the fruit of righteousness is peace. The fourth thing is our thanksgiving must be focused on the gospel. Matthew 26 and 27 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I want you to think about that for a second. Here is Jesus. He's about to go to the cross and die for you and your sins. He's going to take them upon his shoulders, and he's going to die. He's going to pay the penalty that you deserved. And what is he doing here? He's giving thanks. That's a whole different kind of thanksgiving. That's a whole different way of thinking about honoring God with our life. We remember that Peter said, no, Lord, let it not be so. Right? I don't want you to go and die. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And I pray that as we go through our life and as we go through our trials and our tribulations, as we go through times of torment, pain, that we would remember to give thanks because God is greater than all of those things. And he loves us. And he walks with us through our times of despair, discouragement. And we are living not for prosperity in this life, but for the hope and glory in the next. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful time it is to spend together with family. Lord, to just be reacquainted with brothers and sisters who maybe we haven't seen that much during the year because they live far away or just haven't had the time to commit to spending. But Lord, Thanksgiving, a beautiful day where we recognize the importance of honoring you and spending time together. What a beautiful thing it is. And Lord, it is certainly good, it is wise, it is wonderful for people to give thanks for the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, we know that as we walk in your path, as we walk according to your word, there are so many blessings that you give to us as a good father. And Lord, we ought to be appreciative. We ought to be thankful and grateful for what you do in our life. But Lord, I pray that this morning we would be challenged to see Thanksgiving in a different way. Lord, not just to be grateful, but to recognize that you died for us for a purpose. It wasn't just so that we could go to heaven. It was so that we could be with you. It's so that we could be like you. It's so that we could spend time with you and to be loved by you and to walk with you. Lord, I pray that even during our times of trials and tribulations, Lord, that we would recognize that you are there with us, that you are hurt with the brokenhearted. Lord, that you rejoice with those who rejoice and you mourn with those who mourn. You are a good God. And Lord, we have a duty to live for you, not just in the good times, not just when life is going well, but especially in the hard times. Lord, we have a duty to live out our life at all times, to honor you. Not what have you done for me lately, God, but Lord, what am I doing for you today? What seed am I planting today that will bring a harvest, the fruit of righteousness? What seed am I planting today that will bring people into your kingdom? Lord, that the prayers that we offer to you as thanksgiving, Lord, would bless your heart. Lord, I pray that this body, we would practice taking our eyes off of ourselves. We would put them on you and we would honor you with our lives. Even as we walk through trials and tribulations, as Job said, Lord, we would honor you. For you, for from your hand comes all things. So Lord, I pray that this reminder for us would be with us this week. And we would be especially grateful, thankful at a different level. And Lord, we know that when that is in place, Lord, we will experience joy at a whole different level. The peace that passes understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.